In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. We're studying the chapter, the 11th chapter of Hebrews this year. Our theme is by faith. And it's interesting that when we read these verses, the very first man that was mentioned as being a man of faith was Abel. And why was he commended as a man of faith? He was commended by God because of his offerings. He was commended by God as a man of faith because of his offering. It says that Abel offered God a better sacrifice, and that God commended him as a righteous man, and that God spoke well of his offering. Every Sunday we gather together to worship God. And as an integral part of our worship is our offering. We take time to acknowledge the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And we also take time every Sunday to make an offering to God. And every single disciple must make a decision about what they will give to God. And the interesting thing about this passage is that God observed Cain's offering and he observed Abel's offering. And he had an opinion about both. I think every single one of us as disciples ought to want to be like Abel. We ought to want to have God speak well of our offerings. Why do something for 52 weeks in a given year and know that God doesn't appreciate it? Why do that? Of what value is that? Wouldn't it be more beneficial for us as disciples if we're going to give God something, that we give God something that he is pleased with? And clearly the choice is not between giving God something and giving God nothing. That's not the choice that's before us. Don't just think that because we give God something that God is pleased with it. Both these men gave God something, but God commended only one. I think whenever we encounter a story like this in the New Testament, we ought to go back to the Old Testament to see what happened back then. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 4. The account of Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4. It says, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. So in essence, this is the account. Both men chose to make an offering to God. Cain was someone who worked the soil, and Abel kept flocks. And there seemed to be nothing external that influenced them to make an offering. It didn't seem to have any angelic intervention saying, you need to make an offering. They didn't seem to have anybody preaching to them, Cain and Abel, saying, you need to make an offering. It just seemed voluntary. Right? Now, it's possible that their dad, Adam, may have been having family devotionals with them when they were young men, and he may have taught them, you know, whatever you get from the Lord, you need to make an offering. We don't really know the backstory behind why they made a decision to make an offering. But we do know that both men decided that they are going to make an offering. And then you have to ask yourself, well, what was the difference? Does the scriptures give any hint to what the difference between those two offerings were? What's the difference? If you read the text carefully, and you might have to read it a few times, the difference between the two men's offerings slowly will just jump out at you. And if you read carefully, you'll see it. Because it says that Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering. You get the impression that there was probably a harvest, and Cain just went over to where the harvest is, and he just plucked out some of the apples or oranges or whatever it was and said, okay, I'm going to give this. But it says that Cain brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Now, if you really dial in on that text, you'll see that Cain seemed more deliberate in his approach. Abel seemed more deliberate in his approach. First of all, he chose from the firstborn of the flock. The firstborn. So he separated the firstborn fruit from all the others. You don't get the sense that there was any distinguishing in Cain's offering. The second thing is, so he pulled aside the firstborn, Abel did, and then it says he brought the fat portions. Meaning he didn't just give God anything off of the firstborn. He selected the best parts. Right? He selected the best parts. And he gave out of the firstborn, from out of the firstborn flock, he gave the very best parts to God. Now, you know when you're having a family feast. Let's say it's Thanksgiving, you know, and you see the ham or you see the turkey. There are certain parts that people fight over. Right? Some people like dark meat. And they you got to have the leg. You know what I'm saying? I need to have the wing. Don't give me part of the breast. Give me the dark meat. There are people who take their dark meat seriously. They want the best parts. Well, I think when Abel was giving God his offerings, he wanted to give God the best. And therein lies the difference. One guy, Cain, just kind of seemed to be somewhat haphazard in his approach. He just kind of went on over to the harvest and grabbed some of the stuff and said, "Here, God." And Abel's approach was different. He said, "Well, let me carefully select the firstborn, and let me carefully give God the best." And God commended Abel for his offering. And if we were to evaluate ourselves today in that spectrum, which one of these men would we be more like? Are we more like Cain, who sort of haphazardly, "Well, here it is, there you go"? Or are we more like Abel, carefully, deliberately, intentionally wanting to give God from the very best of what we have? Where do we stand in that spectrum? These are questions I gotta ask myself as a disciple. And I encourage you to ask yourself that question too. Because it is not an accident, brothers and sisters, that this is in the Bible. It's not an accident. We all have got to carefully examine where our hearts are at when it comes to making an offering to God. You also have to appreciate the conversation that God had with Cain. "Why are you angry?" You know, it's interesting When people get angry when you start talking about money, you have to ask yourself, where does that anger originate from? Does that anger come from the spirit of Abel? Or does that anger come from the spirit of Cain? Where does it all come from? Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? I submit to you that what God is saying here to Cain is that it is sin in his heart that prevented him from giving generously to God. It wasn't that Cain did not have the resources to make an acceptable offering. He did. He had all the resources that he needed to make an offering that was acceptable to God. But he chose not to. He chose not to. The Bible doesn't say why, although we could speculate. Maybe he wanted to gain some money on the market for his fruit so he can maybe build a nice home for himself. Maybe go on a nice cruise. Maybe travel the seven seas and maybe buy some nice clothes for himself. Who knows? But for whatever reason, he withheld the best for himself. That's the key thing to keep in mind in this story. If we're going to live by faith, brothers and sisters, we've got to ask ourselves, how can I have the spirit of Abel in my offering? How can I approach my giving the way Abel approached his giving? Can that be done? Is that possible for each disciple here in our region? Is it possible? I think it is. No matter what your source of income is, whether you earn a lot or earn a little, no matter how much you have, I don't think it's the amount that God is concerned about. He's more concerned about our hearts. We must have faith in God to make offerings that please Him. It takes faith in God to make an offering that pleases God. And I want to share with you four basic things that I think we got to think about when we give our offerings, as we're preparing our minds and our hearts this year to give to God. Here they are. First of all, and this is big, when we give to God. This is an important point. When we give our offering, we give to God. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says this in verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Whatever your source of wealth is, We've got to honor God with it. And we've got to remember that when we give to God. We do not give to the New York City Church of Christ. The New York City Church of Christ is merely a vehicle that God uses to collect your offering. So you make your check out to the New York City Church of Christ. And when you see your check coming out of your account, it says to the New York City Church of Christ. But it would be wrong for us to think that you're giving your money to the New York City Church of Christ. It's proper thinking to say, that money I've given to God. It's just that the New York City Church of Christ collects it on God's behalf. Are you following me here? I know I had to think about this for some time before it actually stuck. But it's true. It's true. I really had to start thinking, you know what? I'm not giving my money to the church. I'm giving my money to God. And in doing that, I've got to trust God and God's people to do whatever he chooses to do with that money. But as far as my conscience is concerned, I give my money to the Lord. And so that's the first thing that we've got to think about when we give. That we don't give to the New York City Church of Christ. We give to God. The second thing we need to remember when we're preparing our minds for giving is that God is the one who has blessed us with all the resources that we have. And God does not ask us to give anything more than he has already given us. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. All right, here's what God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you read verse 18, God said, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today." I love that passage. Because what that passage says is that God has given us the ability to produce wealth. Think about how you earn your income. Maybe it's through a job, or maybe you've acquired certain qualifications through going through your school career, that you have a specialized degree of knowledge and you're able to earn income that way. Some of us may work in the hospital system. Some of us may work as teachers. Some of us may work at Starbucks. Whatever your source of income is, according to the scriptures, it is God who has given us the ability to produce that wealth. Every single thing that we have has come from God. And we've got to remember that. That God is only asking us to give out of what he has already given us. That we are simply the stewards of what he has already blessed us with. And so we ought to be thankful and grateful with the fact that he has given us these abilities. And so we are to honor him with our wealth. The third concept to remember is in Matthew 16, verse 24. Look at what it says here. In Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus calls every single disciple to deny themselves and take up their cross daily. Now, the instruction to deny self covers a wide range of issues. One of those issues is giving to God out of your material blessings. Okay? That's one of those issues. I get it. It takes self-denial. It takes saying no to self in order to give to God what is rightfully due him. And sometimes, if we're not careful, self will get in the way. Our dreams, our plans, our goals, our aspirations sometimes run into conflict with the dreams, goals, and aspirations of God. So what's the solution? Deny yourself. Say no to self. And take up your cross on a daily basis. In Hebrews chapter 12, this is the last thing I want to share with you about just how to prepare yourself to be like Abel. The final thing that I know helps me in my giving is thinking about Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for me. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The scripture says that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. And what does he ask us to fix our eyes on? On the way he suffered. It says that he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he endured such opposition from sinful men. The scriptures are saying, look, Jesus suffered. And Jesus' suffering ought to put into context what we are willing to endure as Christians. In order to give generously and sacrificially to God, we must suffer. There's no substitute for it. We must suffer. And we must be willing to suffer if we want to give the kind of offering that Abel gave to God. You know, I became a Christian when I was a senior in college. And I've been giving ever since. I've been giving ever since. When I graduated from college, I would give as much as 15% of my gross income to God. And I'm not saying that to boast. I'm just saying I had a roommate. I had no wife. I had no kids. I could do whatever I wanted to do with the money I was earning. I was free, single, and disengaged. And the heart and the attitude that I had was, I would like to give as much to God as I possibly could. And there were times when I gave to the point that it even hurt me. But I learned some good lessons about trusting God. Over the course of time, I kept trying to give sacrificially to the Lord. Now, when I got married and I got older, things changed. You have responsibilities. You have a mortgage. You have a car payment. You got rent. You got kids to feed and all that stuff. It still required some degree of sacrificing. But Robin and I always tried, first of all, to be together, to be united about what we are trying to give. We always tried to be sacrificial. And we always knew that if we were going to be sacrificial, it meant adjusting our lifestyle. And that's been the pattern of my life through my entire Christianity. And I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying that by the grace of God, the convictions that Robin and I share are, we've got to be generous in our giving. And you know what? I pray that the Lord gives me the ability to continue to give generously to Him till I'm old and gray and my teeth are falling out. Because I don't want to have a conversation with God when I see Him and He questions the integrity of my giving. I don't want to approach God in that condition. I don't. Because through all the craziness that we've gone through in the Lord's church, and for those of you who've been around, you know what I'm talking about. Time and time again, I've seen God blesses people. He has blessed me financially. There's never been a day where I felt that I'm starving and I can't eat. And I say, praise God. And to Him, all glory and honor and praise goes to Him. I want to go to my grave. Okay? I want to go to my grave with that same attitude. But I know it's not easy. And what helps keep me focused is Jesus. What helps keep me grounded is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so I got to fix my eyes on Jesus when things may not be going too well in my personal life, when I'm having some challenges in my marriage, when I'm having challenges with other brothers and sisters. I got to keep my eyes on Jesus during those times. But I also have to keep my eyes on Jesus when I am writing my check. You feeling me? And for some of us, that's the time when we need to keep our eyes on Jesus the most. It's when we're writing our check. Because how can we give a better offering if our eyes are not on Jesus? We can't do it. Because what will inevitably invade that space is self. Is concern for self. Concern for me. Worry about my life and my future. And not honoring Jesus. So I hope that you've felt equipped this morning. I hope today your faith would have increased some this morning about giving. And I hope as we go forward that we can keep these things in mind as we think about what we plan on offering God this year. We've come a long way, church, with our giving, haven't we? We've come a long way. And I want to commend every disciple who has struggled to be like Abel in their giving. I want to personally thank all the men and women on fixed incomes who are trying to give generously to God. I thank you for your offering. I want to thank all the married couples with kids who are trying to juggle things around. I understand the challenges that you face. I want to thank you for staying the course in your giving. I want to thank all the single who have been diligently giving to the Lord year in, year out. I thank God for your generosity. I want to thank the campus students and the teens, because sometimes they think that their little $2, $3, or $4 ain't much. And I want to tell you, every dime counts in the eyes of God. And much, much more than that, much more than that. It's not the dimes, because I remember when I was a campus student, I would give dimes. It's not the dimes, it's the heart that matters. But here's a question we all got to ask ourselves. By faith, can I give a better offering in 2017? That's the question. By faith, can I give a better offering in 2017? Can I give with a better heart in 2017? Can I give with a better attitude in 2017? Can I give with a better amount in 2017? Every single disciple, beginning from me all the way down to the youngest Christian, must ask themselves that question. Imagine for a moment a church packed with Abels. Imagine that. Imagine a church where men and women choose to honor God first with their offerings. Imagine these men and women coming before the throne of God on a weekly basis, joyfully giving their offerings to praise their Creator. Imagine men and women who give their weekly offerings and special missions offering with joy and with just laughter, praising God. Imagine God looking down on those men and women with favor and calling those men and women righteous because of what they gave. Imagine the heights to which we can attain if that became our reality here in Queens. If each person, by faith, made a better offering in 2017. I believe, brothers and sisters, by faith, each one of us can do better. To God be glory and praise. Amen.